About being full of God. Sounds good, right? Being full of God. Praise God. Let's start with some prayer. Father, we open ourselves up to you. We yield ourselves to you in the name of Jesus. Father, we're here because we want to learn. We want to grow. We want our faith to be built. We want to be encouraged in the direction that you would have us to go. Father, we love you. We thank you for your love that you have poured out upon us through Jesus Christ. You have made all creation to know that you are God. You are our Lord and our Savior, our Redeemer, the one who has paid the price, purchased us with your own blood. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you for now cleansing us and keeping us in a state where we're able to receive all that you have for us, Lord. I pray that our ears are ready to hear, that our minds are open to hear your word and to let you speak to us this morning, that our hearts yearn for that, Lord, as we hunger and thirst for more of you, Father, that we are yielded vessels to be poured into, that we may then pour out of you unto the people around us, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So, I got up real early the other day, kind of in the quiet of the house, if you know what that is. It's before everybody else gets up, before even the animals are awake, wanting to get fed and all those things, which is really early at our house. But you have to get up early, and I sometimes will get up and do that, and I'll spend some time just in quiet time with the Lord and just in prayer about different things that have come up. And this particular morning, I was praying about today. I was praying about what to put together. God, what do you want for Sunday? Or what do you want for that Sunday, that particular one? And what would you like your people to hear? And how does it, you know, I had kind of been thinking on some things leading up to that. I had some conversations with people, some different experiences, kind of circumstances during the week that kind of got me pondering on this topic or this subject of, you know, the present and future role of the church, okay, of the Oasis Church, of the Christian Church, you know, kind of as a whole, but kind of always thinking, you know, God set me over in this one, so I'm constantly wondering, what does God want for this church? The Lord had already laid upon my heart some words kind of concerning God filling up his people to this point of overflowing, okay, into the lives of the people around them, kind of pouring into us to the point we could then pour out into the world. Okay, but that particular morning, he took me to some scriptures that began to pull everything together. Okay, and I said before the service, it's kind of something I hadn't really seen in the Word before. It's something that began to stand out. Okay, well, the future of the body of Christ, okay, and the future of even this church in particular, has a lot to do with the infilling of and the overflowing of God in and through our lives. Okay, that's where we get a title like that, being full of God. Okay, so God had begun showing some of those things. The message of salvation for the future of the church, the message of salvation, you know, by grace through faith, is critical to the people around us. Okay, it is critical to us to have and to hold and to know that. But to go beyond here, to begin to spread and to get that message into more and more of the masses is literally far too critical for us not to be effective at it. Okay, so here's how it looks. We each individually have an arena of influence. Okay, each one of us. We're all in different circles, right? We all know different people. Okay, we all, even if you're in the same family, you still have certain friends and others and coworkers and, you know, people that are friends of a friend that your friend doesn't have. And we all seem to have this unique arena of influence. We have people in our lives that make up what I would call an irreplaceable circle of inspiration. Okay, that people that we can touch, the people that you can inspire and encourage and be a blessing to, when compared to anyone else in the world, it's different. It's unique. Okay, you have a unique set of circumstances for your particular life. Within our individual lives, then, we each have a unique mountain upon which we can and should climb up to the top of, so that we can then shout out this powerful message of the gospel of salvation to as many people and as effectively as we possibly can. Okay, now a pastor named, some of you have heard of, Lance Wallnau. Okay, he's a podcaster guy, one of those guys that really has, he's grown in mass amounts. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people are following him every week now. He has what I would call a world famous influence at this point. He is influencing a lot of people. He has taught extensively on something that he called the seven mountains of influence. Okay, he lists them out, and I have a list of those to show you, as the seven mountains to be transformed according to the seven mountain mandate. Okay, and the idea being that there's these seven different areas of life, these seven different mountains that are drawn from scriptures, that if we can, as a society, transform or make a difference in those seven mountains, that life will change for the world as we know it. Okay, now, number one on there is education. Okay, number two is religion. Okay, number three is family. Number four is business. Five is government or military. Six being arts and entertainment. And seven being media. Okay, that's a big, all-encompassing media. These seven sectors of society are thought to mold the way that everyone thinks and behaves on the earth. Okay, if you can affect these seven things, you can literally change the shape or the direction of humanity. So to successfully embark on true societal change, okay, for the better, is what we're after, right? These seven mountains must be transformed. Okay, now, each one of you will have your own mountain that the Lord wants you to occupy and to sort of invade our culture from in order to effectively transform or alter society for the kingdom of God, right? You carry the kingdom within you, right? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost, the temple of God. So you carry this into your mountain to be able to alter society for the kingdom of God. Now, you may be a mom that is called solely to the institution of the family. Okay, you will do everything you can to impact your family with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Okay, and then your influence goes beyond that. It'll reach further as you then begin helping others to care for, to train up, and to raise their family in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Okay, you also may be called to the mountain of education. Okay, or somebody else might be called to this. You're called to teach and to train and to influence as many people as you can. Okay, the students and the teachers and the faculty and the parents and the bus drivers and the janitors. Okay, anyone who will watch and listen to your life. Okay, you're given this calling to help guide them in the direction of salvation through our Savior. Or maybe you're called to run a business. God has gifted you in that area, something that God laid upon your heart. You put it in motion. You began a business. You're able to reach all kinds of people in different ways, from the people that come to sell you the merchandise that you sell, or the people that come in to buy the products, or the whoever it is. You're going to have people that you influence. You end up with employees and people that they know, and pretty soon the family of an employee is now one of your friends, and you have an influence through your business. Okay, maybe you're called to the arts and entertainment mountain. Okay, you've been gifted with skills or talents, abilities to make a huge impact on people, okay, steering them into a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Okay, if you've heard of the Chosen series, it's pretty popular right now, so I thought I'd pick on that just a minute. But the guy you might have heard of named Dallas Jenkins, okay, the guy that wrote and produced, okay, I think he co-wrote and produces that, okay, he is a great example of that mountain. Somebody who had a talent and a gift, and he uses it to try to inspire Christians or inspire people that are not Christians to watch that sort of entertainment. If you think about it, though, Dallas isn't the only one that's called to that mountain. Because in that sort of a setting, there are many, 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 many other people that make that show happen, right? There's people, there's marketers, there's the guy that's, you know, on the set moving some of the props from one side to the other for a different scene. Okay, there's the runner that goes to get the bottles of water because it's really hot during filming that day. Okay, there's the guy that, you know, flips the switch on the fan to make the fan blow on the mountainside or the hillside so that it looks windy that day, right? All these different people are part of that mountain of entertainment, and they all have the ability to influence, okay, to make a difference in their little community. Okay, some of the key grips and props or guys and all, they might hang out together after work, or even while they're working together, they're bumping shoulders. They get to live in integrity. They live out their faith in a way that influences the people around them. Okay, now I am confident that I know which mountain I am personally called to stand on. Okay, it's number two up there, right? It's right here. Okay, it's that mountain of religion. Okay, I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I stepped down as a chairman of a political party and some of that stuff recently because I want to focus on what God has called me to the most. I know that I can do that stuff, and I know that I can get involved even in education or different things, but I know without a doubt that I am called to this mountain of religion. I know that it's my life's calling to influence the world to the greatest extent possible from this arena of influence. Okay, if I can encourage and empower each of you to seek, find, climb, and influence from your mountain, okay, then I have accomplished my God-given destiny. Okay, you're all a critical mountain of this mountain of influence. A critical mountain. You're a critical part of this mountain of influence. Okay, so when things don't go right, I'm grieved when you stumble. Okay, I rejoice when you rise. Okay, I love to see the body of Christ get those aha moments where people are like, oh, I've never seen that. Praise God. I like to see lives transform from addict to queen or king. Okay, to see people go from one area of life to another. I like to see the proud being humbled and they're serving and genuinely meeting people's needs. Okay, when I see in what I see in the scriptures is that the mountain of religion is the most influential of all the other mountains. Okay, and I know you're thinking, well, yeah, of course you're saying that. It's your mountain, right? Okay, you're a pastor of a church, of course you'd say that. But the truth is that your faith and your church play a huge role in your mountain of influence, right? Everywhere you go, if you're influencing for the kingdom of God, to be built up in the kingdom of God, to be built up in faith, to be strengthened in your spiritual life with God is going to help you in that. Okay, the entire universe that we live in and beyond is centered around the Son of God, okay? The Son, okay? So the impact that He has on society is like the mountain peak that sort of rises above all the others. Okay, I am also convinced, however, that when you're on top of your mountain, that you're gonna see it in a similar way as I see my mountain, that you're gonna see it as this is important, this is critical. This is where God has called me to make the difference that I can make in this world. Okay, you're going to see it as a powerful and majestic peak that has a tremendous part to play in societal change. Okay, in shaping our culture. If you don't already know, finding your destined arena of influence is extremely fulfilling. Okay, it gives you that sense of purpose in life that we all need. Okay, we desire that. So here's some of the main points, some of the scriptures that the Lord took me to that morning to help sort of create the vision for how the church is going to play a part in the days to come. Okay, here's number one. I think I only got four today. Everybody say, woo! It's not eight or nine like last week. Praise God. Number one, The church will be a landmark for all to head toward. Okay, picture this in the days to come. The church is going to be a landmark for all people to head towards. You know, when I was a kid growing up on the farm, Dad would send me out, you know, 14, 15 years old, whatever, to go out and disc the North 80 or, you know, whatever the field was, he would name it. We had them all, had them named. And he would say, take the disc and go out and you're going to disc that field. Okay, well, if you know a little bit about farming, you'll know this, that you don't go out with a tractor and a disc on the back and just disc around in squares all day long until it gets all the way down to the middle. You don't do that. You typically, at least in our farm, we would go out, you would start in one corner of the farm or one corner of the field. It might be, you know, a mile long and 2 miles across. Sometimes our fields were odd shapes. And so you would start in one corner of that field and you would pick out a landmark on the other side of the field, something that was over there. It might be a, you know, a neighboring farmhouse. Okay, it might be, you know, the Johnson's Red Barn. You know, I can see that. Or it might be just a tree strip, and you would pick the end of that tree strip, and I'm going to head towards that. And so you would get in you'd take the tractor, and you just start heading towards that. You don't really, you know, steer anything. You're just basically steering towards that red barn or whatever it is. And then when you get there, you turn around, and you just go right back along the line you just made. It should be straight, okay, if you kept your eye on the landmark. Right? And so that's kind of the way that you would knock out a field. You would then do the one side and it would just get smaller until you're done. And then you would drive back and you would do the other side and knock that out as well. Okay, well, I want to read you a scripture in Isaiah chapter 2. Okay, starting in verse 2. Isaiah the prophet said this. He said, "It shall come to pass." Everybody say, "It shall come to pass." Okay, God's word comes to pass. "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it." Okay, all nations means all types of people. Okay, people that you know and people that you don't know. Okay, people who are like you and people who are vastly different from you. People from all different walks of life shall flow into the house of God, because it shall be exalted by God Himself to be a landmark for people to flock to in the last days. Okay, the prophet Micah said almost the exact same thing in Micah chapter 4, the first couple verses. He said, "But in the last days it shall come to pass." 200-year difference between Isaiah and Micah. Okay, but he had the same word from the Lord. "It shall come to pass in the last days, and it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow unto it. And many nations shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord.'" Okay, number two is that people will pour into the house of God. Okay, this is coming. God's word is very clear that in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established. Okay, in the top of the mountains, it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations, all people shall flow into it. Okay, the word of God is going to spread throughout the world, and the word is going to be, "Come, let us go up unto the mountain of the Lord." Okay, and I believe in Rollins, Wyoming, right here, that people in Rollins are going to be saying, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord called the Oasis. Okay, let us go there." This is what God is preparing His church for. Okay, we as God's people need to be ready to handle the influx of people. Okay, the snobby Christians, the ones who kind of look down on other people. Okay, people that are different from them, they can't quite comprehend, so they just kind of ignore them. Okay, those kind of people, those kind of so-called Christians, are going to get really uncomfortable in the last days. Okay, it's going to be like, how can they do this? Okay, if you get a chance to watch that Jesus Revolution movie I talked about a little bit last week, there's a great scene in there that describes that perfectly. Okay, they're not going to want to be there because all these people are coming in that have different backgrounds, people they don't quite understand. They can't comprehend why the pastor even lets people like that in the church. Okay, but I believe if you will humble yourself, okay, let God deal with you in your heart, that He is going to prepare you to love unconditionally and to receive people into the flock. Jesus was radically receptive of people. Lepers, blind people, harlots. Didn't make a difference to Him. Number three, the Christian church is going to be the source of life and sustenance for the entire world. Okay, in Joel chapter 3, verse 18, he put it this way. He said, "It shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. And a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and it shall water the valley of Shittim." Okay, that valley, if you don't know, is where the Israelites spent their last days before they crossed the River Jordan into the Promised Land. Okay, it's like the last step. And he's saying that when the rivers are poured out into where the people are right on the edge of going into the Promised Land, that the house of God is going to play the part to be able to pour into these people to help get them across into that Promised Land, into the kingdom of God. The Christian church is going to flow with new wine. Okay, it's going to pour out its milk, and rivers of water shall flow freely from it. Okay, cleansing and nourishing and helping all who seek it. Okay, I asked a couple of people the other day and in just conversation about what a flourishing and thriving Christian life would look like. Okay, and my wife was one of the people there, and her answer, she responded something to the effect of that it would be to be so full of God that you just can't contain Him, that He sort of just pours out from inside of you, kind of deep within you. Okay, well, the scripture came to mind where Jesus said that that would happen. Okay, in John 7:38, Jesus said, "He that believeth in Me, as the scripture has said, out of His belly shall flow rivers of living water." Okay, you want to get to that point where you're so full of God that He flows from deep within you. That's your spirit, right? He comes from within and begins ministering right through you. The scripture that Jesus said, as the scripture has said, the scripture that He was referring to was from the prophet Ezekiel that described how powerful rivers of water would rush out from under the doors of the temple of God, flowing out, and he described it to the north and the south and the east and the west. Okay, and as the Lord was showing this to this vision unto Ezekiel, he said that the Lord took him out, and at first the waters were ankle deep. Okay, then he took him a little deeper, and the waters were knee deep. And then he took him out a little further, and the waters were now up to his waist. And then he says that the Lord showed him that the final place of that water rushing out was to the point that it was like a mighty rushing river that you could not swim across, and that it would sort of just take you wherever it was going. Okay, that's the flow of God. Okay, when that river bursts out of the house of God and begins first by seeping out under the doors, kind of the way it's described. Okay, and then it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper until it washes people in the direction that God wants to take them. Okay, the river of life is a good river. Okay, it's not going to take them away from God. It's going to bend back and bring them right to God. Okay, that's the effect that the church is having, even right now, to a certain extent. I believe we have knee-deep water flowing already. But in the days to come, it's going to flow out in a way that the world will not be able to resist against. Okay, but here's the thing. Number four. If you're full of something else, you can't be full of God. Remember John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he can increase. The Apostle Paul said at one point, I die daily. You know, he wanted to let go of anything that wasn't of God. Jesus sternly warned the religious Pharisees that they were full of something that wasn't of God. Okay, we see that. You wonder, Jesus was pretty straightforward on some of his corrections on people. And the Pharisees were religious. They were pompous and trying to have a big show of things on the outside. But deep inside, they were off base. And he points it out. Matthew 23, verse 27. Jesus says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites! For you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Okay, this is a strong message that Jesus was making. That it takes more than a superficial kind of outward appearance of righteousness. Okay, a sincere relationship with Jesus Christ is required to truly impact your world. Okay, He is the vine, Jesus is. Okay, He's the trunk that has these roots that are deep into God. And we are the branches that then spread out and produce the fruit or allow the fruit to be produced through us. We've got to draw everything that we get from the vine, from Jesus. I think that scripture was on the screen earlier, that apart from Him, you can do nothing. Okay, we've got to draw from Jesus. It's about emptying yourself out of all things that are not godly. Okay, and that comes through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, seeking and being hungry for the things of God, wanting more of Him to consume you. Okay, it comes from casting out of the evil. Okay, the things that you know are not of God, some things just need to be tossed out or spoken with your own mouth, saying, get out of my life. I don't need you. I don't want you. I don't have to have you. In Jesus' name, go away. Okay, and commanding it to leave you. Okay, and also through the simple acknowledgement of Jesus Christ's love for you. Okay, being consumed with that. He loves me. He loves you. He loves me. I think He loves me more than you, but you can say that about yourself, right? Everybody should say that. He loves me more than anybody else. Okay, live your life that way. It'll change your thought process. Okay, you'll start living like you're living in a blessing. Okay, because it's intended for you. Out of your belly are to flow rivers of living water. Okay, not streams of profanity. Okay, not little creeks of cursing. Okay, or criticalness, negativity. In James chapter 3, he was talking about the actual words that come out of your mouth. Here's what he said, James 3:9. He said, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Okay, let God deal with you in any area of falseness where you might be off thinking and thinking on wrong stuff. Okay, let Him deal with that negativity or anything that is trying to get you to be critical and negative about the world and people and grumpy all the time. Okay, if there's darkness where there's supposed to be light, He's going to reveal that to you. The Word says, they that seek Him, He's going to show you some things about yourself. Sometimes we don't like to look at it, but I tell you, you start seeing that stuff, then you say, Lord, I don't want this in my life. And He says, I don't either. Let's get it out. Okay, He's right there. He wants that stuff out of your life. He'll help you. He's going to reveal things to you as long as you stay yielded to Him. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, the Bible says He will exalt you in due time. Okay, that means that He will lift you up to the top of your mountain of influence. If you stay humble, ask Him, Lord, what do you want from me? What do you want from me? And when He starts speaking that into your life and you start taking steps of faith saying, Lord, I'm stepping into it. I don't know where we're going or what's going to happen next, but I keep hearing you saying, go deeper into this. And you just keep going into that and it's going to get better and better and better. You'll climb that mountain. How many have ever climbed a mountain in real life? Okay, you walked on a hiking trail or something. Okay, occasionally your foot slips. You ever done that? Okay, where you're climbing and it's steep and all of a sudden a rock lets loose and you slip back a little bit. You get up and you keep going forward. Okay, and that's going to happen as you're climbing your mountain of influence. Okay, there's going to be times where it seems like, man, I just slid back 6 feet. You know what? But you made it 400 before that. I think you're going to be okay. Get up and go forward. Okay, keep stepping into what God wants for you to do next. Okay, we want it to be where our heart's cry says, Lord, I want more of you and less of me. I want more of you and less of me. Okay, we want to be full of light. We want to be full of faith. We want to be full of the Holy Ghost. We want to be full of God and empty of self. Then we're going to find and we're going to climb and we're going to shout from the top of our mountain. Okay, when you get to that place where you're constantly, you're saying, God, I want more of you and less of me. God will begin to exalt you through the steps to get to the top of your mountain. So get ready for the purpose of the church to come into view. Okay, well, you'll begin to see more and more of what God wants to do through the body of Christ. You have a purpose. Okay, it's part of the seven, but it's a big part of that. That we get to be involved in it. We get to make ourselves ready for what is yet to come. Okay, we are literally the landmark for the world to flock to when things go wrong. Okay, your coworkers look at you. You might not always have opportunity to bring out your Bible and show them scriptures, but you're living amongst them and showing them what integrity looks like. You're living in faith, and you're stepping out in faith, and you're praising God for what He did yesterday. Or, you know, praise God, He got me through this, or we had this go on, but praise God, He helped me with this. And you're constantly testifying. You're showing them stuff. And I guarantee you that when they go through something, some of those thoughts come to mind. I wonder how did Pam do it? Pam always talks about God. Pretty soon they're going to be thinking, you know what? I wonder where she goes. How does she stay so full of God? Okay, she draws from the place where God has called her to draw from. We're going to be that landmark for the world to be drawn unto, to gain that sustenance, to gain the life-giving life that they need. Right? We'll help them find Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father, we are praising you this morning. Father, I want to lift up the name of Jesus. You're such a king. You're our Lord. You are the one that, as we sang earlier, there is no rival. No one compares to you, Lord. Father, we praise you. I thank you that, Father, as we go forth through our day, through this week, Father, that we will constantly yield ourselves to you to allow you to root out the things that are not of you. Help lead us in that better direction. Lord, help us walk in moral integrity and fulfill the calling that you have for each one of us. Let us be a divine influence on the people around us. Let your love flow through us. Let your grace and your anointing, let your power flow through us, Lord. That people can be encouraged to seek you in their time of need. Lord, I praise you. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness, your goodness. Thank you for manifesting in our lives, Lord, and taking us deeper, showing us more of you. Father, I thank you that I believe that you will begin to reveal more and more of the mountain for each one of the people in this room or that hear this message. Lord, that we will be drawn higher, take another step, climb a little bit higher, and to begin to share and to influence as many and more people as we possibly can. Father, we thank you for it. We praise you for it. It's in Jesus' name that we say, amen. Amen and amen.